I'm going to show a couple scripts here. I am not saying that the list I have on these sheets means that they are all dealing in all sorts of stuff under the title that I've listed them under, but they are involved in it one way or another. Okay? It's certainly an incomplete list by any means. But is this stuff going to come out in their music? And I think it can be shown very easily that it does come out in the music. These aren't complete lists by any means. They're not all the groups, they're not all the newest groups, they're not all the oldest groups. But a list of the groups that are involved in some type of sexual content or a lot of perverted sex in their music, alongside of that is a list of all the groups that are involved in homosexuality or are homosexuals. And they've made the statements, not me. These are not my statements. I have every statement that they've made on file. These are all their statements. I'll move it up a little bit more there because on the bottom you have cults, sex on the left and homosexuality is on the right there. Cults and mysticism is on the bottom. And any of you want to see these afterwards, if you can't catch them all, fine. To give you a little idea of who's involved in what. Some of them are involved in more than one area. These are the people that we have put up on pedestals and are paying millions of dollars to give us back all the junk that they're giving us a lot of times. Now, a lot of the stuff is not all that bad, or it might be good. But the stuff I'm talking about today is not. I can tell you all the good stuff in music, but that's not what we're here for. These are groups that are involved in drugs. It's a list of people that have died in the past few years from overdoses of drugs, and those who are involved in some satanic influence in their lives. Okay, these will be available afterwards if you want to glance at them again. Because I know that past that they were up, a short time that they were up there. Okay, that's one area of music that we've dealt with, and I could deal with all kinds of areas of music. Another area, and I know this doesn't affect you as much now that it did a couple years ago, but it still is in society, and it still makes more money than rock music makes. Disco is a number one moneymaker still. It has not overtaken rock music. Rock music will probably in another year or so. Maybe even by the end of this year, I don't know. I don't keep track of the figures month by month by any means. But disco is the top money maker at the moment. So it's a fact that we have to consider. It's on our television shows. It's on our radio stations. And it's in shopping plazas that we go into as background music to the store and everything else. So we have to deal with it. It's a part of it. While disco is rock, rock is not disco. Disco is rock and roll, but rock and roll is not disco. I hope you understand that. If you don't, I'll talk to you about that afterwards. All disco has one thing in common, a sound that has been manufactured by the record companies to constantly make you dance, dance, and dance more. For gays, disco has become a rallying cry to come out of the closet. One of the top California promoters estimates that 75% of all discos are gay operated. Undisputably, almost all disco DJs and lighting crews are gay, and homosexual patronage is a must if you're going to open a new disco club. Donna Summers obviously reigns as the disco's queen and first lady of lust. Chic has taken their concepts from Kiss And obviously, one of the best, or considered the best, disco groups, Village People, is dealing in the area of homosexuality, which we talked about before. Here's a song by Chic. Check, Chic, whatever. C-H-I-C. Everybody heard the chorus, didn't they? Push, push in the bush. It's not some bushes that we walk off to go behind to mess around, talking about a girl and a guy making love. It's there. And it's clear. And everybody can hear it if you just turn on the radio and pay attention to what being put out. I'm sure most of you have heard this song also. Called the freak. You know how you do the dance? Partners crouch down with knees bent, legs spread, and proceed to thrust their pelvises against each other in time to music. In one city that this happened at, some jealous males were driven out in the parking lot to murder each other. And other dances obviously require body contact to meet, especially in discos. Even though it's you're not really holding each other, there's body contact. And a naive person may find it all great fun, but gays in the crowd who attend will readily recognize the sadomasochistic flavor of such exhibitions that we present to them. Disco is an outgrowth of Western man's three current preoccupations. Mankind in this culture, in the United States in 1980, is occupied with three things. They are occupied with sex, they are occupied with success, and they are occupied by cynicism. Sex, success, and cynicism. Especially the people who are at the top and control the money purses to all this stuff. And they are the ones who say what can be done and what can't be done. No group makes it to stardom just because they're a good group. They make it to stardom because they got somebody with money behind them that can move them up the ladder somewhere along the line. Rarely does it happen that somebody out of the middle of nowhere come up from the middle of nowhere and move up the top just because they're popular. It's rare. You've got to know the right people at the right time, at the right places, and you'll make it there. The Now this stuff doesn't come, and this is the last thing I'm doing. I'm just going to read a few paragraphs here. Because I really don't have a start and an end to this talk. But I want it to be an intention getter and an awareness getter of what is in our music. This is a song written about country western music, which I'm sure most of us are probably not involved in. Maybe you are. I don't want to offend anybody who does like country western. But this is a little song about country western music. Merle and Buck and Porter and Waylon, Willie and Dolly too, singing truck driving drinking tunes and songs to make you blue. Honky-tonkin' angels aren't the kind you'll meet someday. If I may correct their song, hell's just a sin away. Triangle affair songs always take the biggest part. All the time it seems that someone's breaking someone's heart. If those singers really lived those songs, they'd most be dead from exhaustion from getting in and out of all those beds. Country western music doesn't have a sexy beat. It's not like rock and roll to get you on your feet. Parents tell their kids the Rolling Stones they shouldn't hear, but those country music words would burn a sailor's ears. All they sing about is just unhappiness and strife and how someone's sleeping with somebody else's wife. But before they close the show and bid you all goodnight, they toss in a hymn of faith to make it seem all right. I'll admit that country singers don't have freaky hair. Okies from Muskogee don't snort cocaine everywhere. They're not like the rock stars who take dope to get along. They're just drunk on liquor while they sing those trucking songs. Someday, when your death has come and you have said goodbye, then I'll wonder if you'll see a jukebox in the sky. Filled with all those country songs you've heard along the way, to check out where you belong when it comes to Judgment Day. All of this pervades all our music. All these areas that we talked about. And it's real. Just listen sometime. Shall we pray? Father, we would ask that again, that you would bless each one of us. We would pray that your Spirit would bring about an understanding and awareness in some of these areas that we've expressed. Lord, let us have a see what your intention for our life should be dealing with any of these areas. And that we may know in a clear way from you, and that you will touch our lives. Thank you for the activities coming up and for the time with Doug this evening. We pray your blessing on these things in your precious name. Amen. Begin with a word of prayer. Father, we again commit these few moments to you that we may glorify you, that we may open our lives and search in areas that we may be deceived in, areas that would be of concern to you, for we do have responsibility of what our minds take in, how our bodies react, and everything else that is a part of our lives. We are responsible for that. We pray that you would enlighten us at this time, and we give you the thanks in your precious name. Amen. Yesterday especially, I had the pleasure of speaking with about 30 to 40 of you, and I really appreciated many of the conversations. We had a good time, many of us, on different subjects, many dealing with the subject that we spoke about yesterday afternoon, but a lot of different things, and we had a good time. Had a great time last night at our campfire. We had 11 at our campfire. Our cabin joined another, the lean-tos, and had a campfire, and we discussed things. We left a little early. A few of us got to bed around 2, I guess, or 2:15, something like that. The other lean-tos got to bed at 4, but I promise to keep you awake this afternoon. But I want you to pay attention, because we're going to deal with some things that are even more subtler in the area of advertising. But first, I want everyone to take out pencil and paper and write down these two thoughts. From now on, I'm going to be changing things because I know where I have a better feeling of where everyone's at now from some of the things we've gone through and from what Chuck talked about in the morning and what Doug's taught in the evening and then the seminars in the afternoon. And I'm doing everything for a purpose. I know some of you know that I'm not answering some of your questions on is something right or is something wrong, and I'm doing that for a purpose as well. I want you to seek the Lord's leading in these areas and to do it very honestly without me having to convict you. It's not my job, as Doug taught last night, to do any convicting. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. And any area that we talk about, whether it's an evening about sin, whether it has to deal with our spiritual gifts, or whether it deals with the material that we're teaching in the afternoon, it's between you and the Lord to deal with some of these areas. But we will give you some guidance, I think, or at least I will, my intention, at the end of this week in some of the areas. But that's not my intention at the moment. I want you to start searching. We got a whole week together, and half of it's still coming up, and I think we can spend some time. I want to ask you some questions, though, that I want you to write down. There's 4 questions. And that's all I'm going to talk about music now, and then we'll start in the advertising. And after you copy these 4, we'll start working in the advertising area. But I want you to ask these 4. Can I have those lights right behind you, please? Just those 4 questions, copy off. Think about them the next few days. Pray about them the next few days. And see what they mean or might mean in your life, dealing with the area of music. The first question deals with philosophy and the influence of it in our music. The second one deals with the music itself. The third one deals with the lyrics. And then the 4th one also involves a scripture verse which you can look up later on, Matthew 12:30. But everyone write those down and think about those. Now we're all influenced, we're going to deal with advertising now, we're all influenced by the world of advertising. Just write this one verse down under advertising. Proverbs 11:20. Proverbs 11:20. The verse says, "The perverse in heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their walk are his delight." The blameless in his walk, or in their walk, are his delight. It's talking about holiness again. Blamelessness. Separation from some of these things that would corrupt and deceive. Now, I don't know how involved or how each of us has influence in their lives, but I have an awful influence by advertising. Advertising seems to put a lot of things into our lives that maybe wouldn't have been there a few years ago when advertising wasn't as prevalent as it is today. For instance, my hair smells like strawberries because my shampoo has a strawberry scent. My breath got the old mint breath. and they sell Apple Honey Arm deodorant and all kinds of stuff with all kinds of flavors in it, all kinds of scents. All it's to do is to sell a product. And most of us seem to buy products that have to do many times with how it may smell. I happen to like my shaving cream, even though the one this time I got this time didn't have it in it. It wasn't on the shelf, but usually I buy lime shaving cream because I like the smell of lime when I wake up in the morning. But we are all influenced by these different areas in our lives. And we'll play a short take on some of the influences from advertising that we hear all the time and that we're barraged by, and they have an effect on us.
I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get you out of the car. I'm going to get super plus, proven by me and Dr. Super Wide Test, to give super comfort and super plus protection tampon.
Day after day after day after day. You've got a lot of examples here up on these two end boards of different things that are just in magazines, in newspapers, on billboards, on packages, on t-shirts. We're constantly barraged with different forms of advertising or promotion. Is it dangerous to the Christian mind to absorb some of these things? We're going to look into some of this. We're going to explore now the world of fantasy, of commercials, where even some intimacy. If I was a girl, I wouldn't want half of the commercials that are on television about some stuff. And that's only started in the past few years. But if I had something to say about it, it wouldn't be advertised like that. The television has got very intimate with our lives, or advertising rather, on TV as well as every other media. It pushes all kinds of vitality, success, and just says they're just a purchase away with a few of our dollars. TV advertising in 1970 was $4 billion. This year it's well over $8 billion. And you know what happened with that advertising money? Now in 1970 was $4 billion spent in advertising. You know what they got back for the return? $16 billion, $16 billion was spent on alcoholic beverages. $10 billion was spent on cigarettes. $34 billion was spent on recreation. $10 billion was spent on personal care products. And $33 billion were spent on brand new cars. It totals $103 billion for only $4 billion investment. Why do they do it? They make money. Dusan Mikhaev, Yugoslavia's best-known filmmaker, after screening 20 Coca-Cola commercials at the Smithsonian Institute said, American garbage is the most colorful, beautiful garbage you can find anywhere in the world. Viewers of advertising seldom realize industry's ultimate goal is not to produce programs for the public, but to provide the public for the product. They're not concerned about programs. My newspaper is not concerned with the stories. They're concerned with the advertising space that's sold. And if it means I have to chop out half a story and you don't understand what the story's talking about when you get halfway down, too bad. That doesn't pay us any money. The advertising does. It's the same way television views it, the same way radio views it. Priority always is advertising. They won't admit it, but we do it all the time. Dr. Mark Shedd stated that that he considered advertising to be a threat to the mental and dental and physical health of America's young. Dr. Mike Rosenberg complained while the Code of Hammurabi in 2250 B.C. made selling something to a child or buying something from a child without the power of an attorney, a crime punishable by death. In 1975, our children are exposed to well over 350,000 commercials. I should say everybody within the age bracket up to 18 years old. By the time you're 18 years old, you have seen 350,000 commercials or heard that many commercials. Combination of everything. Does it have an impact on you? Newsweek reported that more than 400 million worth of kid commercials on Saturday mornings in 1976, more than 70% of all the commercials were all sugar-coated cereal, sugar-coated candy, or sugar-coated chewing gum. 5 and 6 year olds, psychologically, unquestionably accept the authority of advertising on TV. What's said there, they believe. In general, 7 to 10 year olds start getting some tension and some anger and some frustration with the inability of their age group to try to deal and cope with some of the hypocrisy that's in the advertising that we see. And then 11 and 12 year olds are around that age. They get to a point where they start considering society to be very hypocritical. And that maybe if you're hypocritical, that's just another fact of life that we should incorporate into our lives. You know what kind of impact that has in our churches today? You know what kind of impact we're growing in our young, even in some of us maybe, of our attitudes and thoughts and our relationship to others and in the church? Are we manipulated? And some of these things are very subtle. Some of these things you have to look into. Sometimes you might be pulling out meanings that really are not that deep, but there's a lot of things that have different kinds of meanings. This is a slide I showed earlier. It's got some very subtle meanings, but I'm going to point them out so you understand how advertising works. This is a sign by a company that Rochester's built around Kodak. I don't find much wrong with Kodak, but obviously the name is stuck there in the center, and when you see it, you see Kodak. No, not too many problems with that. But the advertiser is not Kodak, it's off-track betting, which is in the lower right. Now when you look at anything, you look generally at the center of it and generally to the upper portion of it. And that's going to catch your attention of your eyes first, if anything. And probably when you drive down the street past this billboard, you would see Kodak. You would not see OTB. The colors are very dull and dark. But it's put up there by off-track betting. It's not a Kodak sign. They're just saying to Kodak, hey, it's really nice that you guys are having 100th birthday. We wish you good luck. But what they're doing is advertising what they're trying to sell. They're trying to sell bedding to the public. Now what happens when they got Kodak in there? That gives us the idea that Kodak is condoning, maybe, what they're doing. Kodak's not condoning what Optrack Bedding's doing necessarily. But it certainly looks like that, because you're putting somebody else's name along with your name and you're giving them the spotlight. Look at some human values in that. Be a better person. Do you become a better person by becoming a better person? Do I become better because I'm a better? Huh? Look at some of these thoughts that are hidden away in there. Advertisers do this all the time. That's a simple one. There's lots of stuff that's real deep. That's a simple one. They're doing this all the time. They're experts at it. I didn't spend 4 years studying not to learn how to do advertising. I learned how to do advertising to sell a product. My product happens to be the newspaper. And our sales for the past 49 quarters straight have gone up 25% over the previous quarter. Gannett, which I worked for, went from a small company, 19 papers when I first started there, 11 years ago. 19 small newspapers. I'm talking about little town newspapers. The only big town newspaper they owned, or city newspaper, was the Rochester paper. That was it. Every other paper was a little dinky paper. Now they own 84 newspapers, including Cincinnati, San Diego, and a few other biggies. They own 20 television stations and about 25 radio stations. They own all the billboards in Oregon, Washington, and California. They own all the billboards in two other states. They own two paper mills in Canada. They own most of Canadian billboard space. Even though you don't see the little logo Gannett on it, it's owned by them. They own computer firms and everything else. In 11 years, it's the biggest communications firm in the world. Their business? To sell what their advertisers are giving them. There was an ad, which some of you have seen, which kind of promotes a doctor that goes up on the screen and it's got this little bottle of aspirin or whatever and it's trying to promote it. And just a subtle way of pushing things across. If you listen very closely, right in the middle of the ad, this person also played in a television show as a doctor, but he's in the ad, he's standing there, looks very authoritative. They always get these types of individuals that looks like, hey, it's a doctor prescribing. It's not no doctor, but your subconscious thinks that way. So with the authority that you see this individual pushing this product of aspirin, in the middle of the ad, it states that this product is for pain other than headache. All the medical studies that were taken were for pain other than headache. So it's very clearly in the middle of the ad. And it's very dulled down because they don't want you to see that. They don't want you to pay attention. They don't want you to recall that. The ad says for pain other than headache. That's what these medical studies were for. But at the end of the ad, when the music gets up there and he's up there making his big plea with a big smile with a product hanging out there in front, his statement is, so the next time you get a headache, try it. But the medical studies were for a headache, was for anything but a headache. But we like dummies go and buy the product and think it's going to take care of our headache. But the medical studies were for everything but a headache. This is all the time. This is like this all the time. Now, there's some other things that get into advertising and how they manipulate us. I won't ask how many use this product because I don't want it to be as that embarrassing. But there was a reason why. Now, a lot of products are coming out the same way now, and I don't think they're doing it for the same purpose, so I'm not criticizing them. But I will criticize the one product. the deodorant tickle that came out. The shape of the canister was made for a specific purpose, not to be used, but to give ideas. They were sued by quite a few agencies claiming that that's why they made the shape of this thing. And you can use your own imagination. I don't think I have to spell it out by now. They were sued, and they lost, because you are allowed in advertising a lot of times to make things so bad, but yet they're kind of good, so they really don't jump on them. The companies that sued, the company that produces Tickle, lost the case, and they lost several thousands, tens of thousands of dollars in court battles over it, because they claimed it was deceptive advertising, and they couldn't do anything about it. Now, I don't think that's necessarily a reason why other things come out in a similar shape now. It just happens to be now a fad type thing, I think, for roll-on deodorants and different things. Cigarette ads have some subtleties in them. This I saw on television on the Tom Snyder Show. This ad was also in our newspaper in Rochester, probably was in Buffalo, probably was in most of the cities around the country, because this would have been national advertising. This was shown on the Tom Snyder Show late at night by a guy who was an expert in advertising, and that's how I was able to pick up on it. I just went and made sure I got a copy of the newspaper that was dated back in 1977 to pull out the ad. And I'm not going to point out what I'm going to say within the ad, only because I don't feel comfortable doing it. This is an ad that ran in the newspaper here. It's a cigarette ad advertising the product Decade Cigarettes. In that ad, okay, I'll let you see it first before I tell you what's in it, because I'm going to close it up. Okay, in that ad is, in a very subtle way, a picture of a male genital organs. Very clearly, without exaggerating one bit, it's the rocks that are in there with the shadows attached to them. And if that doesn't portray it very clearly, I don't know what does, because I don't think you'd take a photograph that could graphically do it like this ad would do it. What's it do? Oh, hey, you know, you can be macho, you can be cool.